1,000 jobs could go at the Port Talbot site. The police watchdog's investigating whether there were any missed opportunities before the deaths of a 2-year-old and his father in Skegness. Bronson Battersby is believed to have starved to death after his dad, Kenneth, was thought to have had a heart attack. Lincolnshire Police was contacted twice by a social worker who couldn't get into their house. Matt Warman, the area's MP, says answers are needed.
It does seem as though both the police and social services were already involved. They already knew, as I say, both the father and Bronson, and for that to have not successfully secured his safety is clearly a failing on several levels.
Officials in the US say victims of a mass school shooting in Texas deserved better from the police. Our reports found there were cascading failures in the way authorities handled the shooter in Uvalde in 2022. A man's been arrested in connection with the alleged prison escape of Daniel Khalif last year. Police say he's not a member of staff at Wandsworth Jail in South London. The Queen says the King is fine while he waits for treatment for an enlarged prostate. His Majesty is preparing to go into hospital next week. Meanwhile, William's visited the Princess of Wales as she recovers from abdominal surgery. These well-wishers at Kensington Palace say Catherine deserves privacy.
Given the fact that she is the future Queen, I guess there is a vested interest in people wanting to know.
Keeping it private, I think, is the right thing to do. We're just trying to protect her.
And former Liverpool captain Jordan Henderson has completed a move to Ajax on a 2.5-year deal. It's only 6 months since he joined Saudi side Al Attifak. That's the latest. I'm Ruth McKee.
This is Phoenix FM. Phoenix FM.
Mother-in-law's a manic, his new wife's in a panic, saying when you're coming home. Danny drives a tractor, left it in the past. Your boss is getting madder, cause he won't pick up the phone. Might not be an Ivy League Einstein crowd, but when it comes to Friday night, man, we got it figured out. When the long week's paychecks are cashed, where we gonna spend it, buddy? Can't pass the bar. Bobby's got a cousin who says he's good for nothing, always making fun of him cause he doesn't own a suit. Freddie's ex-lady's got a new Mercedes from the judge she's dating down in Baton Rouge. He's the book smart, no dark pool shooting kind, that's why she shows back up every other Friday night. When the long week's paychecks are cashed, where we gonna spend it? Can't pass the bar. When you're raised out here, you are who you are. That two-lane road will only get you so far. We can pass around cigars, guitars, and jars, but we can't pass the bar.
The soundtrack to A Country Boy's Night Out. That was Scotty McCreery with Can't Pass the Bar. This isn't a song about trying and failing to become a lawyer. Scotty McCreery and his co-writing team, Brent Anderson, Cal Dodd and Frank Rogers, are Country Boys Who Can Only Be Found in One Place on Friday Nights. It's the type of track that I think would have perfectly fit on a Brooke and Dunn's album about 25 years ago. Scotty McCreery hasn't released a new album since 2021's Same Truck album, which was produced by Frank Rogers. But with the release of Can't Pass the Bar, I'm assuming and hoping that album 6 is well on the way. You're listening to Night Shift on Phoenix 98 FM, your weekly dose of country music each and every Thursday night, 10 p.m. until midnight. And on tonight's show, we're going to be continuing the traditional honky-tonk sound with special guest Nicola Magnolia. She is a country artist from Canada. However, she has travelled and lived all over the world, from Germany to even living a year in Kilburn in London. We're going to be talking about her latest single. That single's called Hit and Run, which is the follow-up to her Broken Lonesome album. She'll be featuring on the broadcast at 10:30 p.m., so stay tuned. For now, though, we're going to flip the record over and play some Corb Lund. Just like Nicola, he too is a country artist from Canada, Tabor Alberta to be exact. He founded the heavy metal band The Smalls alongside his touring band called The Hurtin' Albertans. He has played Glastonbury back in 2017 and now is releasing a new track to country radio. Here's Corb Lund with Redneck Rehab.
Kick speed before daddy gets back. Well, Hot Shoe and Tom says I got you fixed. The first one's free. You try some of this. One bump for work, two to party. The hay's all cut and the colts have started. Up for days in the Georgia pine, chopping wood and chopping lines. Redneck rehab, locked in a shack, a single wide trailer for a month and a half. Redneck rehab, mama got mad. I gotta kick speed before daddy gets back. Time on liquor. I climbed on a pony a whole lot quicker. Stepped on coke, a bathtub crank, prescription pills and purple drink. Riding high till the fun all ended. And the bear ain't broke, the fence ain't mended. Redneck rehab, locked in a shack, a single wide trailer for a month and a half. Redneck rehab, mama got mad. Redneck rehab, locked in a shack, single wide trailer for a month and a half. Redneck rehab, mama got trashed. Now she gotta kick speed before daddy gets back. Hey!
Maybe these boots were made to get you. you on the dance floor.
That empty place seems all it's supposed to be. Oh, if I called it fate, would it be crazy? Cause loving you, baby, loving you may be the only thing I'm made for. Maybe these boots were made to get you on the dance floor. That empty place seems all we're supposed to be. Oh, if I called it fate, would it be crazy? Cause loving you.
Sounds like a new hit song by Zach Top. Zach Top, he's reviving the spirit of 90s traditionalists like George Strait and Randy Travis. Top and his co-writing team, which consists of Carsten Chamberlain and Wyatt McCubbin, refer to the Alan Jackson and 1994 year, a year considered to be a golden hour for the genre. It's the same year that Clint Black, Wynonna Judd and Tanya Tucker billed Rockin' Country Sunday, performed at the Super Bowl halftime show. Tim McGraw's single Indian Outlaw was boycotted at radio stations, and Mary Chapman Captain Carter won Country Album of the Year with Stones in the Road. You're listening to The Night Shift on Phoenix 98 FM, and special guest Nicola Magnolia will be featuring on the show in 15 minutes time. In the meantime, we're going to play a new track that's going to please you all Nashville the TV show fans. This is Boeing Young with Brand New World.
Storm and I'll be gone, going out on my way. they're never stopping me. Now ring the bell, I'll be by myself, and that's the way it ought to be. Winds change all through my brain, and I've been ready for war. Sitting green and roll with the wind, I'm never coming back.
Sunshine looks good on your skin. You know I could be in LA by the morning. And if you ever ask, girl, I'd run like the wind. When life goes from easy street to upstream, there's a place a heart like mine can hide downtown. Goodbye. Found me in a Sunday morning sermon. You know I sent a couple prayers your way. And I thank God for his time, but I'm still hurting. So here's where I end up at the end.
Classic country with a fresh and modern outlook. I have Nicola Magnolia on the night shift for me tonight. How are you tonight, Nicola?
I'm excellent. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm really, really looking forward to interviewing you and kind of like learning more about you and learning more about your music. Now, you're actually a tattoo artist by trade, and you actually started writing the songs just for yourself initially as kind of like an escape. What was it that urged you to put pen to paper and kind of write your first song?
All of that is so true. So true. I've always been artistic, like with tattooing and drawing, but my first love was really performing arts and singing and acting. And I've always been a bit of a poet, a bit of a writer. So some of my earliest memories as a child were writing fictional stories or writing in my journal, or writing poetry. So it's always been there. It's always been a part of my life. I've always dealt with life through writing, and it's kind of been this thing that I've had for myself. And it's only more recently in the last few years that I'm starting to share what I write. So, yeah.
Then you started to share these songs with your friends, and eventually these songs then became your debut album called Broken Lonesome. What process did all of these songs go through, from being just a Dear Diary song essentially to now actually a fully produced track on an album?
Yeah, it's so funny. Because that was my first album, I don't know it's my first experience recording. And the process from them just being songs for myself and my journal and maybe my dog going to being an album was such a quick process. Essentially, I was around a campfire with some musician friends. I sang a song that was my own, and my friend asked me, he was like, "Oh my gosh, who wrote that song?" I said, "I did." And he was starting to do production, and he's an amazing, well-known musician in Canada, and he had just started dabbling into producing as well. So he asked me if I wanted to record it. And initially, I was really nervous. It felt like I was diving into the deep end. You know, I had no experience with recording or performing at the time when this was happening. So I was really nervous, but I had really supportive friends that kind of coaxed me into the deep end. It really went from a campfire to recording demos in my living room. And then a week later, we were in the studio for about 5 or 6 days, and then I had an album. So it happened really, really quickly.
There's an amazing track on that album. It's a track called "I Love Country Music More Than I Loved You." Were there any particular songs that you remember that made you fall in love with country music?
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite songs still is "I Love Country Music More Than I Ever Loved You." The first time I performed that song, I remember people in the audience asking me, "How is this not already a song? It seems like so classic and such a country message. How is this not already in existence?" So I think, you know, the process again happened really quickly. And I think when I fell in love with country music, you know, if I really think about it, it was in Europe. Which is hilarious, because living in North America, I've always been surrounded by music and country music. However, I was only really exposed to the radio country music living in North America, and it wasn't really my jam. It was a bit too pop for me and a bit too mainstream. It didn't resonate with me when I was a teenager growing up here. But once I had moved to Europe, I was listening to a lot of different folk music and more old school country music, the classic country and bluegrass, which I fell in love with. And I first it was Townes Van Zandt, "If I Needed You" was the song that really, really I fell in love with. It's so random. I had watched a film, a Belgian film, of course, about a tattoo artist and a country musician who fall in love. And the country musician is doing all bluegrass music, and one of the songs that he covered in the film was Townes Van Zandt. Shortly after seeing this film, I was in London for a wedding, and the people getting married were two country singers. from North London. And in the church, they sang If I Needed You a cappella. And because the whole crowd of friends were also musicians, I mean, you can imagine 40 people in a cathedral with the acoustics singing If I Needed You. And it was in that moment that I just completely surrendered to country music. I fell in love, and I haven't really looked back since that day.
The track, when you listen to your track, I Love Country Music, it really takes me back to that kind of like Loretta Lynn, Tammy Wynette kind of time, where even though the melodies are really simple, the lyrics are really, really honest and very, very witty. If you could travel back in time to that era, is there maybe any one thing that you'd want to experience?
Oh my gosh. That's a tricky question. I think as a writer, I can't imagine another time period, because what fuels my creativity and my writing is my own life experiences and the time that we're living. But I do think back about maybe like Tammy Wynette and Dolly Parton, and how these women were so brave in singing about women's rights in their own way. And we're still doing that. So I think if I would go back, I would hang out with the girlies in the 50s who had the courage to begin writing about wanting more as a female musician. But yeah, I think I'd go back there.
Now, your name, Nicola Magnolia, it's a very, very poetic sounding name. Did you grow up in a very poetic and very artsy household? Are the rest of your family quite artsy as well?
I did, yeah. Both of my parents I would consider to be artists, despite that was not their careers really. But my mom is, both my parents are very musical, despite not really being musicians. They were always listening to music as I grew up. They were always playing records of mostly blues and soul music and rock and roll, stuff like that. And my dad was an architectural designer, and he was very talented at drawing. My mother was a painter, you know, when she was a teenager. And so I was always encouraged, and I had a lot of freedom to express myself creatively. And I think I had a bigger drive to pursue a career in being artistic, because my parents were so talented, but never made that, never made it to be an income source for them. So I think that kind of lit a fire under my ass.
Now, earlier, I briefly mentioned that you began as a tattoo artist by trade. You yourself have tons of tattoos as well. What was your first tattoo that you got?
Oh, yes, I have a lot of tattoos. It's funny because I kind of forget how heavily tattooed I am, because owning a tattoo shop and working amongst other tattooers, being around them every day, you kind of start to not notice them. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like I'm not that tattooed, because I know people who are even more tattooed. But my first one was a little paper airplane on my wrist. And I got it in Montreal right before I was going away to live in Europe. So I got it as a reminder to always keep exploring and traveling. But now you can barely see it. There's so much around it.
Passing the seasons again. Going back to the place I began. No, it ain't the same as when I left. Well, I've tried to find answers back home. Now I know truly.
I began. No, it ain't the same as when broken lonesome.
Broken lonesome. They're about moving to Europe, and we were speaking, just as you were tuning in for the interview earlier, about how you were living in Europe, and you even lived in London for quite a time. What made you come to Europe and then end up living in London for a while?
I did a degree in fine arts in Ottawa, and I was a painter and did photography as well by trade. And I was told this rumor that Berlin was the art capital of the world. So I kind of did a few European trips during my degree. I would waitress and bartend and save all my money and spend it all on travel and rent. And I had checked it out, and I just fell in love with all the graffiti and all the artists. And it was just such a creative, buzzing hub Berlin was. So I ended up living there for almost 2 years, and I was represented by a gallery. And the owner was from London. So when my stay in Berlin was cut very abruptly short due to visa reasons and being denied an extension, I decided to make the jump to London. I didn't want to go back to North America yet. I wanted to still live my bohemian adventurous lifestyle. So he linked me up with a friend there who... her flat, like I said, was under construction. And so she was staying with her partner at the time. And I would kind of sneak in and stay there in the evening when nobody was there. And then when the workers came back in the morning, I would leave before they got there. And so I had a great time in London. And I still wish I spent more time in Europe. I hope that I can tour there soon.
Because where are you based currently, and what's the kind of art reception to a more classic kind of country sound there?
I am in Ontario. I'm near a lake called Rice Lake. And I guess I'm about an hour and a half from Toronto, for everybody else who's wondering where the hell Rice Lake is. The reception to classic country, I don't know. I feel like people are intrigued by it. However, there isn't like a huge market for country music here, I think, in general. Canada is so widely spread out that there isn't like a huge population of people that grew up listening or love country music. I mean, there's a certain appreciation for sure, but it's not like overly common. It's not like you hear it on the radios, and anything you do hear on the radio is pretty polished and pop. Driven. So yeah, I think where there's a bigger appreciation would be maybe Alberta, Edmonton, Calgary in Canada, but even then the population isn't huge. So I would say our friends to the south of the border in the U.S. definitely have a bigger history, a longer history, and a more appreciation for country music of all kind, including classic country, which is a little bit different right now.
Now, while your sound is definitely more classic country, your look is very, very modern. Your branding is very, very modern. How important is it to you to express yourself in this way and not kind of try to revert back to the fashion, to the looks of classic country times?
Yeah, I think I've never really felt like anybody but myself. And I don't know how people do it. It's like they jump in another timeline and dress up like a different era. But I don't think it would feel like me, although it would be fun. I've just always expressed myself through fashion and clothing. I have Polaroid pictures of when I was 7 years old, and I would make clothing out of drapes or shower curtains or whatever I could get my little hands on, and I would put on fashion shows for my cats. So I don't know. I can't imagine not just dressing however the hell I feel like I need to express myself. And I think on stage I do have a bit of a I would say rock and roll presence. So I think my stage gear and getup ends up being a little bit edgier because of that.
Now, your latest single, it's called Hit and Run. It's very much a more kind of dancey kind of country song. What was the vision that you had for this track?
Yeah, it feels very different from my first album, Broken Lonesome. But I think it's been a natural progression after, like I said, I didn't have a ton of experience. When I wrote my first album, I hadn't been performing, really. I was really playing for myself and friends, and it was very, I mean, I think that's where the intimacy comes from in that album, in that kind of honest storytelling. But after a few years of playing hundreds of shows to drunk people, late night bars, I think I picked up a bit of a honky tonk edge, and I had to write songs on the go. You know, I had shows to play in people that wanted to dance and venues that expected me to be able to do that. So, and I've never been a huge fan of playing cover sets. So I just wrote songs that people would dance to that I still liked. So I think that's where Hit and Run came from. You know, it came from that energy of entertaining bars of people late into the night.
Because you actually released a music video for this track, and in the music video there's scenes set in a bar, there's scenes set outside with a group of bikers. Whereabouts was this video filmed?
Yeah, the music video was so fun to film. We had a blast doing that. It was kind of felt like a party, to be honest. We filmed it in Hamilton, Ontario, which is kind of a cool looking town. It's pretty industrial and very working class. And it really, I think, added to the vibe of the music video, had that edge to it. And there's some really cool scenes of the main actress of the video, which isn't me, but she's on the back of the bike and you see the cityscape kind of going by behind them. And yeah, it just feels familiar, that kind of working class town.
Now, we've spoken about the music video, but I think it's now time to share the track with our listeners. Would you like to introduce the track?
Yes, I'm Nicola Magnolia, and you're listening to The Night Shift on Phoenix 98 FM. This is my latest single called Hit and Run.
Baby, beg me for more on that. But when I saw you get that look,
That was Nicola Magnolia of her latest single called Hit and Run. Real honky-tonk feel there, both in that song and in the music video for that song too. You can check out the latest and the rest of Nicola's album, The Broken Lonesome, on Spotify, and follow her on Instagram at Nicola, spelled N-I-C-K-O-L-A, Nicola Magnolia. She's yet to announce any UK gigs, but with the way country music festival scene is growing over here, I'm sure she'll be over in no time. Someone who is actually, though, doing a show over here in Essex, just down the road in Chelmsford, is Ags Connolly. He featured on the show last year while promoting his album called Tiombre, and he has this message to share about his upcoming show.
Hi, this is Ags Connolly, and you can catch me live in Chelmsford on Thursday, 8th of February at Hotbox Live. Get your tickets now at hotboxlive.co.uk or agsconnolly.com.
Tomorrow. Some days you gotta compromise, but wait out for a little while. Baked beans on an open fire by the waterline. Some days you gotta wake up slow, when slowing down means letting go. And you never know what you might find. Love.